Hey everybody, it's Aldo Gandhi, and I just want to let you know really quickly that our swag shop is reopened. DeepDishTees.com is where you go, and that's Tees with T-E-E-S. Clever name, guys. They're the new home of our merchandise. You can get t-shirts, you can get caps, you can get coffee mugs, you can get hoodies, you can get all sorts of good stuff, and you'll help out the bar room with the purchase. So head over to DeepDishTees.com.
I was a sore loser, man. For instance, I played softball for 40-some years. I was one of the top players in my 20s and 30s. I won the Hamlet Park Tournament on a thing called the Black Jinx. We won Clarendon. I was an all-star type of pitcher. I'm in the Hall of Fame. But you know what? I didn't have as much fun as I should have. Because if you're really geared in on winning only, you're going to come across as ungracious at times, as a sore loser. But I'll never forget. I'm at the Michael Jordan fantasy camp. So Jordan comes down to gamble. I end up sitting next to him. Jordan's betting $3,000 a hit, and I'm betting $300. He's blaming me for taking a hit because I'm sitting in front of him. Why'd you take that hit? Well, because I'm trying to win. When we made the correct calls and he would lose, he'd pound his fist. He'd act like an idiot. Really, like a guy with his last dollar. Then it hit me. That's why he's great. He doesn't give a shit what people's reaction is to his behavior at certain times. So that's the type of mentality I had.
What's up and welcome back to Bar Down Blackhawk Talk, episode number 21, presented by the Barroom Network. My name is Vinny Parisi, and I'm here with Joey and Joseph. I hate Matt Nagy.
You do. You were very, vocal about that, which I find it just hilarious. I'm all for it. I don't want the controversy, but I'm all for it.
I mean, outside of Tom Brady, because we both are rooting for the Buccaneers as long as Tom Brady's there. And if he went to the Philadelphia Eagles, we'd root for the Eagles during his time there. But outside of just rooting for Tom, we both like the Patriots. I would say they're my second favorite team. I also have a lot of love for the Seattle Seahawks, but nobody cares about my football fanhood other than the Bears.
No one, not even me.
But I brought up the Patriots for a reason. They're dealing with something similar. Is it going to be Mac Jones? Like, what's going on?
They're dealing with something similar. But I don't think Cam Newton's better than Andy Dalton. That's the only difference I'll say. And I'm not saying I do. And I'm not saying that necessarily Fields and Jones are equal. Like, there's very much potential. Justin Fields is far and away better than Mac Jones. But I think, the debate of Cam starting over Andy Dalton is a little different because people don't mind if Cam starts as much. I think it's crazy if Andy Dalton starts, but he's going to.
Well, there's two things that I kind of want to fight you on there. Cam Newton at his best might be better than Andy Dalton at his best. But I think you can expect a better version of Andy Dalton this year than Cam Newton because Cam's hit or miss. Like last year he was so sweet, and then he got COVID and he looked like injured, broken Cam again.
He was okay, and then he was broken Cam. He's going to be better this year.
There was that game, I think it was Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football, where he, like, this guy might win the MVP again. And then it all fell apart flat on his face. And
Mac Jones looked good, so I don't care what happens with that. It's more Harry and the Bears side of things because
there's one reason to me why it's more Harry for the Bears. The coach. Who's going to argue with Bill Belichick? Not me. Yeah. Not you. Yeah.
And I don't think he's necessarily been as adamant as Matt Nagy that Andy Dalton is the week one starter. And it seems like Matt Nagy said that. And now, no matter what happens, he's just going to stick to his guns. Like, he ain't.
He's a big stick to my guns.
Yeah.
Which is fucking so annoying. Oh my God, it makes me so angry. I don't swear much. I hate him right now. I want to love him. I do believe this season is boom or bust for him. Like, he could win coach of the year. He could be fired by week 10. I truly believe both of those two things are possible, because if Justin Fields comes in week two, like, let's say they get dummied in week one by the Rams, like they're probably going to, and then in week two, they put in Justin Fields and he balls against the Bengals, and they go on to have a 11-6 season or 10-7 season, and they're in the playoffs and they look like they might win a game. Matt Nagy's in the coach of the year conversation. He might not, but he's in the conversation. They suck. Andy Dalton sacked 5 or 6 times a game, refuses to put in Justin Fields. They stink again. See ya. Yeah. I literally think both of those things are possible. Where, like, the Patriots, it's like Mac Jones, Cam Newton, Bill Belichick's not going anywhere.
Yeah, and I don't know. For some reason, I just feel like the Patriots are going to be better.
They're certainly going to be better. They play in a Cheeks division. I'm a fan of the Bills. I'm not a fan of the Bills. I'm a fan of what the Bills are doing. Mm-hmm. I actually have them as the favorites to win that division. I could see New England being a wild card team, but if I had to, like, bet my money on it, even though I like the Patriots far more than I basically like anyone else, I would say the Bills are their biggest competition, but they could come back and be strong.
Yeah, definitely.
I just think, like, with last year, so many players opted out due to COVID-19 on the Patriots. They weren't getting good chemistry with, you know, the quarterback. Nothing really clicked at all at any point. And I don't know. I can't wait to root for Tom Brady, though.
Yeah, and I agree with Gonzo. I kind of see Mac Jones making his way into there, and it's just – it's all uphill from there. Because not I love Cam Newton. Not a diss to Cam Newton, but I actually think he's a perfect guy to kind of bring in Mac Jones. It's going to be good. I'm excited.
Yeah. Mac Jones, he seems to fit what New England does year in and year out. I'm not saying he's Tom Brady Jr. I know a lot of people like to call him Tom Brady Jr. just because, like, he's not the most like, he's not Justin Fields running around, or, you know, what Patrick Mahomes does, Russell Wilson, those types of guys. But, like, I don't know. They kind of got lucky that he fell to them. And if he's the fifth best of the five quarterbacks who went, but they're all good, like, who cares?
Yeah.
Are you excited to root for Tom?
I'm very excited to root for Tom. That's what the benefit of being me is, like, you know, I still have Tom.
Me too. Like, I'm a Bears fan. They are my number one favorite NFL team. I love the Bears, right? And because of Tom Brady, I've grown to love New England. When I was a little kid, I thought the Seattle Seahawks helmets were really cool and used them a lot in Madden. So I would consider them my third favorite team, if you're allowed to have a third favorite team. But even if I'm not allowed to call them that, I still, like, watch every game and cheer for them when they're not playing the Bears or the Patriots, obviously. Or the Buccaneers, because, like, I have to root for Tom Brady.
The Buccaneers, for both of us, like, I really didn't give two shits about the Bucs.
I don't give a crap about the Buccaneers organization.
But
I want them to win the next four Super Bowls.
But they also kind of just got inserted into, like, that, you know, top tier teams for me. Like, it was the Patriots. I kind of, don't hate me, I always root for Cowboys. I like them. And then now all of a sudden with, like, Brady and Gronk, it made me root for the Bucks. And then it kind of expanded. Now it's not just those guys. I actually genuinely like, I had Mike Evans in fantasy. I started really rooting for him to do well. So, I mean, I'm not going to say I'm just going to totally, like, start hating the Bucks once.
No, me either.
It was over. They've kind of became a team that I'll just probably always cheer for.
Yeah, instead of being, like, my second favorite team when Tom's gone, they'll be, like, my fourth favorite team.
Yeah.
Because of Tom's time there. I just kind of hope, like, this is it, though, for Tom. Like, I hope he stays with the Bucks the rest of his career just so I can stop homie hopping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't want him to retire ever. Like,
Vinny rooting for the Arizona Cardinals because Tom Brady's there winning his 18th Super Bowl.
And what if he, like, coaches or becomes, like, a manager or a GM somewhere? Like,
don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm going to root for that man till I die.
Me too. If he is in, like, a charity softball tournament in, like, Lowell, Mass or something like that, I'm going and I'm rooting for his team.
And if one of his sons make it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a 1 in a billion chance, but I mean.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if a Tom Brady offspring like made it to the NFL and won? Like that to me, like he's the GOAT, and I think you're a complete moron if you argue against it. But at the same time, like wouldn't that solidify his GOATness even more if he just dumped a kid into the NFL?
Yeah, right.
People come here for hockey and they stay for the football.
Yeah. What do you got hockey wise?
Period number one. And I would now. Oh, that's great.
Hey, Vin, you got to raise your hand because you are taking all the blame for that one. That came out of nowhere. Just throw in the period one. Okay.
Hey, I'm in a good mood.
I thought of a good segue too, and then you just threw period one out there. I was going to be like, speaking of football, you play Madden. What do you got a Madden? Oh, also EA NHL. NHL 22, the cover is being announced tomorrow. What athletes you thinking about?
Well, I hear from a good source that you want to have like a little mini draft where we each pick three players.
So figure out a way to see who goes first, and then I'll pick a player, you pick a player, but the player I picked is off the board. You can't take him.
All right. And for those who don't know, before we do this, it's summertime. There's no live hockey. The draft is over. Free agency, we'll get into a little – we have some free agency talk to cover later in the show. There's still a little bit left to, like, you know, figure out as the summer goes along. But for the most part, it's dry season. Sidney Crosby's birthday was the biggest news of the last 2 weeks or so. Like, we're here to have a little fun talking hockey. It's not too serious.
There's a couple copies of NHL I want to show real quick. One of them I've already showed before. And, yes, we're talking about the video game, the cover athlete. I have some cool covers here. There's two of them. This one is NHL 15, the original cover athlete. I don't know if you have it like handy. It's Patrice Bergeron was the cover athlete, but I have a one of a few signed NHL 15 with Andrew Shaw, our good friend, on the cover of that one. So that's really cool. I got a picture of me and Andrew Shaw right there on the back. But the next one is one that everyone else has, NHL 16. But I actually have the one with Patrick Kane as well on the cover. Because you remember they removed Patrick Kane and only had Jonathan Toews holding the Stanley Cup. I have one of the few copies with both of them. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Tell the people why Patrick Kane was removed. You don't got to get too in detail, but I mean.
It was in the gist of his allegations, I guess you can call them, of the whole his former girlfriend or friend or something with the whole rape thing. It's obviously all water under the bridge now. Patrick Kane's the guy, but EA did pull him off of the cover. So
they pulled him off in case he was convicted, and then they felt like they couldn't go a whole year with this guy on the cover if it came out that he was what he was being accused of.
Yeah, so the original NHL 15 cover is Bergeron, and the original NHL 16 cover is only Jonathan Toews. I have two different ones, which is very cool.
Very annoying you didn't show NHL 14. Pure respect for your co-host.
NHL 14 was...
I can see it, but it's not in the reach of me where I will... Yeah.
If you want me to start digging, we got Vlad Tarasenko right there. I don't know. That's... We can bust them out later because next week we'll have the brand new cover athlete of NHL 22 coming off of let's see how far back we can name. We have Alex Ovechkin.
Oh, I can go all the way to 09, I believe. I think I could go back to.
No, Gonzo asked if it was the girl in the cab incident. No, that was a completely different Patrick Kane.
No, he says, was it the girl or the cab incident?
It was the girl. Yeah.
The cab incident was like right after they won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
In 2010.
And wasn't he on the 2010 cover, oddly enough?
Yeah.
And then Jonathan Toews was on 11.
Putting Kaner on the cover so he doesn't do dumb shit.
Yeah. Either way, NHL 22 coming right up. Who wants to go first?
You could go first.
You want me to go first? Because there's one guy that I want to draft for this cover.
I think I have an inkling who you're going to say, but go for it.
I'm saying Victor Hedman.
Another Lightning. That is not who I thought you were going to say.
They're back-to-back Stanley Cup champs. It's got to be Victor. How are you writing these down? Because I'm not going to. Yep.
I got you.
Yeah, for me, it's Victor Hedman. You know, two Stanley Cups now in the past 2 years. It seems like these past 2 years have been all about the Lightning, and what better guy. It's the only reason I'm not saying like Steven Stamkos, their captain, or Nikita Kucherov is because Nikita Kucherov didn't play all year long, and Steven Stamkos was on the cover in 2012. So Victor Hedman is my guy.
All right. I'm going to take who I thought you were going to take, and that is Colorado Avalanche forward Nathan MacKinnon.
That was my number two pick.
I cannot believe you didn't say him. I think he has a very good chance of being on the cover because when you look at the most recent covers, right, they put on Ovechkin last year. The year before that was Matthews, and they had McDavid. Like, PK Subban's been on. So, like, I got Nathan MacKinnon
because
he's in that stratosphere.
I agree. I don't hate that. He was my number two pick, but I'd be shocked if they pass up on the Tampa Bay Lightning opportunity here with them being back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. But there's another guy that I really like because this team, I feel like because Ovi was on it last year, they're I don't want to say taking a break, but there was a couple year stretch where it was like the young up and coming talent. I think Ovi kind of changed that a little bit, and a team that has been in the news since they became a team is the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm taking Mark Stone as.
Okay, you got me back. You got me back because he was my next one.
They don't do multiple covers. They'll have like limited edition covers, but we're just talking about the one cover reveal that they'll have tomorrow for like your.
They do have them in other countries.
Yeah, in other countries, like I'm pretty sure there will be a Swedish player cover athlete for the game released in Sweden or something. Yeah.
But like the one that is noted as the cover athlete is the one that's sold in the United States and Canada.
Yeah, Gonzo wants Tyler Johnson on the cover. that would be cool. I would have said Marc-Andre Fleury instead of Mark Stone if he was still on the Knights.
Been a minute since there's been a goalie.
Yeah, 2014 Martin Brodeur. Who do you got?
Yeah, you took mine, so I have to kind of, like, think back a little bit.
We're only drafting three.
I know. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think it would be so cool if this team got represented, and they are my pick as of right now to win the Stanley Cup.
I like the Southbird Pittons pick.
And that is Florida Panthers forward Alexander Barkov. If he was on the cover, that would be so sweet.
That would be. You set me up easy here. I'm very happy with my three people because I'm shocked you let this guy get to me, but I kind of played it strategically. I wanted to take this guy over my last pick, Mark Stone, but I knew you weren't going to take him, and that's this guy right here. David Pastrnak, the passing of the torch. You know, Alex over there, they're going to go back to the young talent thing. Ovi, it goes from Ovi to Pasta, the greatest goal scorer, to the next up-and-coming greatest goal scorer. That's the deal here. David Pastrnak, it would look sick, and you know it.
It certainly would look sick. I was going to, like, go out on a limb and pick a Kraken player, but I don't know if they have that box office number one player. And then I can say these names now since you have no more picks. I was thinking like Kirill Kaprizov would be a really, really good one because the Wild have an incredible fan base. I know it's like a top three NHL fan base. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and it's going to be so off-brand for me, like so off-brand. I can see them putting Artemi Panarin of the New York Rangers, Madison Square Garden, most famous train station in the world. I just think.
Has there been a Ranger?
There has not been a Ranger in our time playing NHL. And they're like a marquee. Like, I'm trying to think, has there been a Hab?
I just thought of that. Like, Carey Price would be
the original six. The original six.
Carey Price is an honorable mention. We'll give some honorable mentions. Carey Price is one of them.
Carey Price is one of them. But I'm going to lock in Artemi Panarin just because. The Rangers sell. And like, I could see it being like another honorable mention, like Jack Hughes, Dougie Hamilton, giving the Devils some love. I don't think any California player has an opportunity just yet. I don't know if Johnny Hockey's going to be on the Flames long enough to consider him. The Oilers had McDavid. I don't see Draisaitl being on anytime soon. But, I mean, it's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, or what if they go back to the Oilers and throw Leon Draisaitl? I mean, this dude has been amongst the NHL greats for the past 4 years now. So,
do you think the back-to-back thing, because now that I think about it, they didn't – we never talk about Pittsburgh when it comes to the cover, though.
Yeah, they did kind of screw over Pittsburgh.
That's what makes me think the Lightning being back-to-back isn't going to – because, like
– what?
Crosby or Malkin have never been on the cover, and they're the two best players of the last 20 years.
I don't know. It seems like the Lightning back-to-back, though, is just two dominant back-to-back wins. Like, that's just the way I feel. I don't know. Like, this is the Lightning's league right now, and we're all just trying to compete.
Do you think one of us nailed it? Probably do you think not. It'd be one of those six?
Probably not.
Really?
I always like – it's always like a jaw-dropping moment when they reveal that shit.
Carey Price would be a good one.
Yeah. Especially with Montreal's run last year.
Is Brodeur the last goalie?
Yeah, 2014. Before that, I couldn't even tell you.
I'm trying to think. I don't think there was. Claude Giroux was on.
Claude Giroux in 13. Steven Stamkos in 12.
Yeah. Joe talking about a Makita special edition cover. I think Tony Esposito would be a special edition one that, you know, RIP. But NHL 22, man, that's going to be fun. I can't believe we're on 22 because the first one I ever bought was 09, and I've had every one since like a weirdo.
Yeah, I was looking. They're deep back there. I don't feel like going to grab all my collection of video games. But, yeah. It sucks we're kind of in the day of the digital download. So I don't know if we're – you just think of a player?
I thought of a good honorable mention. Elias Pettersson. They would love to give the Vancouver Canucks some love. I just think, like, you need one of two things out of the cover athlete. You either need an internationally popular player, no matter his team, or a good player on a marquee team. Yeah. So, like – Barkov is not on a box office team. The Florida Panthers are a really good team. They're like a bona fide cup contender, in my opinion. But like, they're not like the Leafs or the Habs in terms of popularity. But Barkov is. He's like an international superstar. Like in Finland, he's basically God. In Russia, he's popular because he has Russian heritage. Like, and he's playing in an American team. So that's kind of my logic there.
Who was on the cover in 19? Am I drawing a blank here?
19.
Is that the McDavid year?
No, I think 18 was the McDavid year. I want to say
Petrangelo on it recently, or am I just pulling that out of nowhere?
Tarasenko.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only blue.
Yeah. 20 was Ovechkin.
They didn't put him on the cover of him hoisting the cup?
Maybe. No, Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid were. I want to say Austin Matthews.
Subban was.
Subban was 17, I believe.
No, I'm holding 17 right here. 18 PK was.
Oh, maybe 19 was Matt. Or no, 20 was Matthews. Who was 19? That's a really good question. Are you looking it up?
Yes. Oh, 19 was Subban.
Oh, okay. On the Predators.
Yeah, so we got it. We're just mixed up with our years.
19 when you have 12 straight NHLs on your shelf, it's hard to remember.
Austin Matthews and then Alex Ovechkin. And
what's your favorite one in terms of optics?
It always will be probably 2012 with Steven Stamkos on
it. No way! No way!
It's just a sick cover. I don't even know where it is.
Sick. That's what I was gonna say. That's honestly crazy.
It almost has like glitter in the
jersey. And just his pose. It was also like the first year that we played it with our friends like a lot. Like 9, 10, and 11 was a lot of personal me time playing it. 12 is when like we started to incorporate the Xbox Live and the GM Connected and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah. The GM Connected, like we would get like, you know, eight of us and be in a league And okay, we'd get a text like, hey, you got to get on and play this person at this time. And we would like literally do a league.
Like a league.
It was the funnest thing in the world.
Yeah. I like Kaner on the cover of 10 too. I agree with Joe. None of those are my favorite NHL though. What's your favorite NHL in terms of the most fun you had playing?
The most fun I had playing was probably NHL 13. The next
me too, year. Me too, me too. With Claude Giroux on the cover.
Yeah, and I don't know if Joe was here when I showed this the 2016 cover of Kane and Taves hoisting the cup after their 2015 win. They since have pulled Patrick Kane off that cover, so it's kind of cool. I have that. I just like flexing that I have it. I'll be honest.
No, it's really cool that you have it. I actually am kind of jelly because they did take him off just in case something bad happened with his allegation findings. But I mean, I think it's fun to like diagnose who's going to be on the cover each year because I'm assuming it is an honor. I know if I was a hockey player, I'd want to be on the cover. We play that shit our whole life.
Yeah. So you want to just recap our lists before we jump over in?
Yeah, for sure. So Joey drafted Victor Hedman of the Tampa Bay Lightning, Mark Stone of the Vegas Golden Knights, and David Pastrnak of the Boston Bruins. Myself, I chose Nathan MacKinnon of the Colorado Avalanche, Alexander Barkov of the Florida Panthers. People are going to think I'm a Panther fan. Maybe Panther fan Vinny is going to come out next season. I might buy a shirt and just be like all in on the Panthers as my second favorite team because I love that team now. And Artemi Panarin of the New York Rangers. So we'll see who wins if neither of us are going to win.
I'm starting to actually think we got a decent chance. I don't know. If it's someone that we didn't even mention or think of, like I'll be like, okay, that was a dumb choice because I literally can't think of anything. I literally have a list of the top point scorers. Anyway, I have good reason why I think it's going to be my boy David Pastrnak that I'll get to in period number two.
You probably...
I just love how every time you go to say something, then it hits.
That works.
What?
He did it again. That's how this works.
I know. My third pick, who I actually believe has a better chance than my second pick, but I knew you weren't going to take him. Strategy by me. Excellent drafter.
And I was going to take Stone.
Six-time fantasy hockey champion. I'm a great drafter. But David Pastrnak, my guy. You see all the pasta stuff we have hung up around because for the fifth – now hear me out. The fifth straight year he has won the Czech Republic Player of the Year. Now, you can go ahead and say, oh, who gives a fuck? Czech Republic. It's a high honor for that country, a high honor. He broke a record for winning it five times in a row. No Czech player has ever done that. The previous record was four straight years held by Jaromír Jágr. David Pastrnak, you know, sets the new record for most consecutive wins of the Czech Republic Player of the Year. With that being said, he still has seven more to go to tie Jaromír Jágr in 12 overall years of being the Czech Player of the Year. I think he'll do it. What do you think on David Pastrnak?
I think David Pastrnak is such a great player. And I think it kind of goes a little under the radar now just because he's on the big bad Bruins and you can argue he's the first best player on the team. You can argue he's the fifth best player on the team because they're so deep. And I think he's right there with Matthews. You always say he's the best goal scorer in the NHL. It's Pastrnak and Matthews from somebody who's not biased speaking about it. Those are the two best players in the NHL or two best goal scorers in the NHL. Now Ovechkin is still right there, but you're always going to like kind of put your bet on the kid who's 25 opposed to the man who's 35. But I mean, I've run out of nice things to say about David Pastrnak because he's such a sweet guy. You know, he'd come on this show and have a blast. He's just a genuinely nice kid. It seems like winning means a lot to him. Every time he scores, you would have no idea he's already got 250 in his NHL career, however many it is. Like, what the recent tragedy that he just went through with his wife. I believe it's his wife with their, I believe it was a stillborn kid. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it was so sad, and it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. And so to hear that he won this Czech award, I will always have a special place in my heart for Czech players because of the impact that that country has had on my favorite team, the New Jersey Devils. The Devils' all-time greatest forward is from the Czech Republic. Not their all-time greatest player, but their all-time greatest forward is from the Czech Republic. And, you know, Patrick Eliáš meant a lot to me, and it's really cool to see David Pastrnak kind of try to lead the way for this next group of Czech players. Because when we first started watching hockey, I would say there was a big five in terms of the power countries in hockey, and they were one of them. They're not anymore. I think the Swiss have passed them up a little bit. There are more elite Swiss players than you think. I think, obviously, Germany is getting close. I don't think they're quite at Czech yet, but they're getting close. Finland and Sweden are worlds ahead of them now, and that wasn't always the case. But I think because of guys like Pastrnak, it could come back.
Yeah. Real quick, Santiago asked if Doc Emrick did play-by-play. No, but he's been out since, I want to say the 2000 or the NHL 19.
Yeah, I think that was like the sign that NBC was almost done.
Yeah.
Like, that's when people started to talk online about, like, oh, NBC's contract is up after the 2021 season's over. Like, are they going to renew? Is it going to go to ESPN? I think the Doc Emrick leaving NHL was the first kind of nail to drop from that.
Yeah. I think you're very wrong about the Czech Republic being passed up, especially by the Swiss. I still think they can put together a great team. We're going to underestimate
the Swiss.
A very competitive team. I think the Czech are better than the Swiss. I think Sweden and Finland are better than Czech, but I honestly... Yes. What?
Yes.
Yeah, but I think the Czech is either four or five.
There's five. A new big five now. Finland five. Passed Czech to be...
They're either five or six. Czech is either five or six behind.
No, they're six or lower because the United States, Canada, Finland, Sweden, Russia, they're all ahead.
Russia. Okay, yeah, they're six.
I would have them seven right now. I think you underestimate the Swiss. I think they're deeper.
No, they're not. We're going to compare. That's something.
Maybe we'll make that a period next week. Well, because the Olympics are coming up and it's summer and we have shit ass to talk about. I think a good conversation would be world hockey. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, but it's cool. Like, we kind of each have a team here that aren't our main teams. I'm Czech and you're Swiss. I'm living by that. And I hope they play each other in the Olympics. Yeah.
That's your favorite hockey country besides the USA?
I said besides our mains.
They're not, though. Finland is.
Well, you get what I'm saying, though. You get what I'm saying. And Canada's probably yours.
I don't know, actually. I think I would root for the Swiss.
Over Canada?
Yeah.
That's just because none of your favorite players are Canadian.
That's not true. I'm a huge Crosby guy. I love McDavid. But I want the U.S. to beat Canada. Like, that's almost like playing into it a little bit. I want Canada to, like, get smoked, even though they could probably make two teams better than everyone else. They really probably could. I do think USA is going to be a lot better than people think.
Literally, like, all my favorite players are European, so.
Yeah, I mean, Pastrnak would be the best player on the ice if the Swiss played against the Czechs, and that could make a difference. That really could make a difference. I'm aware how good, like, the best player can change a game. That's why they're the best players. But I think in terms of overall team depth, 1 through 4 lines, 3D pairs, and goaltending, I think the Swiss are better.
Deeper. Honorable mention, I will say the top three who he beat out to win for the fifth year in a row. Number two, guess.
Number two.
Who is the second best Czech Republic-born player in the NHL this year? Slovakia used to be good, Laro. Back when they had, you know,
they used to be better than the Swiss too.
Yeah, they were up there for me. I actually rooted for Slovakia a lot in the 2010 or 2000 the Sochi Olympics, and I think it was 2014. Marian Hossa in like part of his prime, and Marian Gabrick, one of his close friends, and obviously, like, you know, Zdeno Chara. Those three guys, they made me root for this team Slovakia a lot.
It makes me wonder, because, like, Czechoslovakia was a thing 40 years ago. They were one country.
If they were to have a, if they would have had a Czechoslovakia team where it was Czech and Slovakian players, that it would have been a really good team.
Especially in the early 2010s.
Yes.
Like, if you would have had Chara, Gabrick, and Hossa on the Czech team with Jager and Eliáš, they might have, like, won gold.
All right. Who do you got? Second best?
I got nothing.
Andre Palat.
Thomas Hurdle?
Andre Palat.
Okay. What about Hurdle?
Hurdle was not in the top three. I only know the top three. Third was David Krejci.
Wow. Well, Krejci had a really good year. I think Hurdle is probably the second best Czech player in the NHL right now. But, I mean, I could be forgetting someone. Like I said.
There's way more deep Czech, you know, players. You're not even.
How I feel about the Swiss.
For a Czech. I think the Czech have them beat.
Maybe. It's certainly an argument. I think Germany's still a little behind both of them. Both but pending. I do think Germany has passed Slovakia. I really, really do.
Germany passing Slovakia, yes.
Like, Germany's getting good, man. They're pumping these guys out like nobody's business.
Yeah. Who would the best Swiss goaltender be?
I would have to look it up. I'm sure it's a KHL goalie.
Yeah.
It used to be Jonas Hiller. Remember him?
Vitek Vanacek is the first Czech goalie that comes to mind. And the fact that he's an NHL goalie is already going to...
Yeah, unless I'm forgetting someone. But the Swiss... Having Roman Josi alone changes, like, he'd be the best defenseman on either team.
Yeah, but
that's a huge thing. They have a top line centerman in Nico Hischier. Nino Niederreiter is like an analytical darling. People really like Pia Suter. He's a really good player. I just think there's some good talent coming from the Swiss. And I'm 100% Italian, and the fact that Nico Hischier is from a town that's about a half hour north of the Italian border, it adds a little extra.
I mean, yeah. Nino Niederreiter is an aging Swiss guy. He'd probably still make the team.
An aging Swiss guy.
It's like he's not as good.
He's the Hurricanes' like fifth best player. That's pretty damn good. If you're a fifth best player on an NHL team, you're an Olympian.
I don't know. Nino was better. He's not like fantasy worthy anymore. He was at one point.
I would have to look at his stats from this last season, but I mean, there's a reason that being like a second line guy on that team with Teravainen and Svechnikov and Aho, like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I do think it's funny though. There's no like argument on the top five though. Like, me and you argue about a lot. Nobody's saying anything about the top five.
No. Yeah. Chris makes a good point. A devil is always a part of the main argument.
And we aren't noticing a pattern with that about the Bruins?
Oh, no, not at all. What are you talking about?
We're literally arguing like the best player on Swiss is probably a devil and the best player on Czech is a Bruin. So,
well,
eat me.
I hope in the 2022 Olympics there's a showdown. I hope they both crawl their way to a gold medal game and it's Czech versus the Swiss.
When the Czech play the Swiss, I can't wait till the groups come out. I just decided next week, period two, Bar Down Blackhawk Talk, make sure you're listening, is going to be an entire world hockey conversation.
Yeah, let's do it. We could have even done it when we talked about, you know, the head coaches. Maybe we'll know more. Because remember last week we found out the head coaches for Team Canada. So I'm sure more news will come out, you know, regarding international and world hockey play. So,
yeah. And in both of our dumb big brains, we have a fair amount of knowledge just sitting there. But it's hard to, like, have a true in-depth conversation without a little bit of research. Yeah. So next week, me and Joey will come ready to bat with the whole international world hockey thing.
I did see, real quick before we move on here, I did see a projected Team Canada roster. And it almost makes, like, what's the point of the tournament?
All might not make it anymore.
Yeah, they're going to fucking win. It's honestly unreal how good it is. It did have Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, and Sidney Crosby playing together, which is a sure shot that happens, because regardless if they're not the best three players in it anymore, you got Connor McDavid. That will be the best line probably in the tournament. It's just, they play so well together. So we'll see. I'm very excited for it. And that alone made me root for Team Canada last year, because to see – it's one thing if you're rooting for your players on a world team, but watching them on that team and watching them be the most impactful, best players for that team makes it that much better to root for them. So you can,
yeah.
I'm not an anti-American by any means. I want America to win gold medal in hockey very, very badly. But, you know, you got to just accept the fact that a lot of our favorite players are just not American, and that's fine with me.
Yeah, like Jack Hughes and Luke Hughes and Quinn Hughes all playing on Team USA does intrigue me, especially and, Jack and Quinn. Luke is might be a far off, but like the Tkachuk brothers, Matthews and Eichel being the top two centermen, that's a gold medal caliber team. I want to see Marner play with McDavid. Like the things that those two might be able to do together, they would need like a sniper on their line, I think. Like if you put Taylor Hall. But, like, Hall might not even make it. I'm trying to think of, like, a good Canadian sniper.
There's
Stamkos.
There's a lot of them, so.
Stamkos would be a good one. If Stamkos played with Marner and McDavid on the top line, and then you have that reincarnated perfection line, I don't know. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I cannot wait to have a whole period dedicated to world hockey next week. But right now we're going to talk about a hot topic in the NHL, and that's jersey advertisements. Yep. Go off, King.
First, I want to say what's up to FFB Goon. Thanks for.
I'll be watching tonight. I cannot wait to hear fantasy football advice. I promise it will be on my screen while I watch the Chicago White Sox destroy the Oakland Athletics for the third straight game. I have no free ads. I have a Kit Kat bar ready to eat while watching you guys. My favorite candy. Can't wait. The floor is yours.
Well, I got my fantasy hockey trophy. I joked about going to grab my fantasy football trophy in the other room. I really should have.
Who gives a shit about your fantasy team? Just take the advice from these guys and then shut up.
Jersey ads. All right. It's been reported and pretty much confirmed that jersey ads are going to make their way to the NHL as of the 2022-23 season. I did not bail. I have a lot of fantasy leagues going on. So
you bailed.
I didn't bail. Jersey ads. Okay. The 2023 season. Yes, you can be mad about it. You can hate it. You can, you know, not maybe want to buy a jersey, even though the ads might not come on it. You can call it the KHL. You can call them sellouts. I just want to say that if you think that is the reason to not watch the game, you're crazy. I've heard numerous people say, oh, once they put ads on, they hated the helmets on the jersey, which generated them millions and millions of dollars. And now I've heard people say, if they put ads on the jerseys, I'm not watching anymore. That's not the point of this. The point of this is to watch your team, regardless of how it looks. There is not the feeling that the Boston Bruins give me when I watch them play and win is literally priceless. There can be a 30-second ad in between every whistle, and I'm still going to watch this team because that feeling that they give me as a fan and how passionate I am about them is literally a priceless feeling. You can advertisement all you want. I don't care. So if you're, you know, going to be that stubborn and say, well, there's jersey ads, I'm done watching. That annoys me. There's sellouts. Then that passion never was really there for you. And I feel bad because it's got to be there to enjoy it. And it's there for me. So jersey ads in the 2023 season, I don't give a shit. Let them do it. Let them make more money for my team because of the way it makes me feel and how passionate I am about the team. What do you got on that?
I think if you complain about them, I mean, I get it. They're not going to be as visually appealing. I think people who say, well, I'm not watching now. Okay. Just like people who aren't going to watch the Raiders anymore because they don't want people unvaccinated in their building sickening up the joint. Okay. See ya. You're so brave. Same thing with the jersey ads. You're so brave if you don't watch. I do have an answer for Santiago. You might remember the World Cup of Hockey in 2016. Great, great, great tournament. I promise I'm not going to talk about world hockey anymore until next week. They had ads. Team USA specifically had SAP on the shoulder. I remember seeing it, you know, they were on the helmets too. I bought a Team USA jersey, Zach Parise, shout out to you, number 9, King. Joey bought a Tuukka Rask Finland jersey. None of them came with ads on the jersey that we purchased. That's not going to happen. You're not going to be purchasing a jersey that looks like a NASCAR driver jacket. That's not the point. The point is there was a pandemic that cost a lot of people lives and a lot of people money. And the NHL is trying to make some of that back. We have a flat cap now in the NHL. Teams are not spending. They're letting good players go. Nobody wants to reach the cap because it stayed the same. Revenues dipped and the cap stayed the same. Do you want the cap to go up? Do you want the Blackhawks to be able to sign good players? You want the Devils to be able to sign good players? You want the Bruins to be able to sign good players? I do. If having ads on the jerseys allows the cap to go up again, I'm all for it. Is it going to be there forever now? Probably, because like it's been a long time coming anyway. Do people hate the Nike logo on baseball jerseys? How about the Nike logo on NFL jerseys? Adidas logos on the hockey jerseys? That's all ad, technically, right? I know they made the jerseys, but it's still an advertisement. I don't know. It just doesn't bother me. Like, and here's the thing. If it does look like a KHL jersey, you could Google a KHL jersey, then I'd be kind of annoyed. It would ruin the sweater. But if it's like a little, if it's a little logo over here, like, who cares? Who cares? I like them on the helmets, personally. I think they add a little twist.
Yeah, they grew on me on the helmets. And honestly, I don't care if they do end up looking like KHL jerseys or a fucking NASCAR vest. Like, at the end of the day, is it going to change the amount of joy and happiness that the team provides for me as a passionate fan? The answer is no. I don't give a fuck what they look like. I don't care if I, when I bought that Pasternak jersey, it had a big Dunkin' Donuts logo on the front of it. I don't care because I fucking love wearing that jersey. It makes me.
I understand what you're saying.
I don't care. Let them make as much money as they can. I'll be there to provide as much as I can because it's what makes me happy. And if you're as passionate of a fan as I am, it should make you happy too. Don't quit on the sport just because there's a little fucking advertisement on your team's jersey.
Yeah, and I know the TV deal. I see the comments. Yeah, I can't co-sign that because the cap didn't go up. The cap did not go up, and it's not going to go up next year either. And as long as that happens, there's a problem. People forget that things are different in the United States also than Canada. That TV deal is for the United States of America to watch on ESPN, not Canada. The Canadian dollar is part of the reason that the cap isn't going up. They need to solve that problem. And if ads on the jerseys help it, I'm all for it. I want the Devils to stop sucking for the 11th year in a row.
Yeah. We have breaking news that the Cubs win second straight game by beating the Reds 7-1. They're back.
I don't want to talk about the Cubs on the hockey show.
Hey, we're in all Chicago.
We did talk about football for 20 minutes, so don't roast me for that. It was just an anti-Cubs joke.
But what? Yeah, that's where I'm at in jersey ads. They'll be there whether you like it or not at the start of the 2022-23 season. So enjoy this season while you can and while you're still watching. I know I'll be there the next year cheering on my team. So
I can't wait for it to come back. I do hope it's not like all over the jersey. Like, it would bug me if it was like the KHL. And I think it'd bug you too if that beautiful Bruins sweater was ruined with advertisements all over it.
You would have
a little TD Garden logo on the shoulder.
And the ones you buy aren't going to have that. There's no way.
Yeah. I mean,
because they're not going to pay. That's like paying me to advertise the shit, right? Right.
Yeah. And like I said, the jersey you buy isn't going to have the ads. That's
what I'm saying. So at that point, I don't care.
Laura wants to know how the Cubs are doing. Well, I will say you could tune into Bar Down Blackhawk, or not, where you're tuned into Bar Down Blackhawk Talk right now. Crosstown Crosstalk tomorrow, 2 p.m. I'm going to have all the updates on Chicago baseball. Plus, we have a very special guest I'm looking forward to. But as far as how the Cubs have been playing, a little quick side note. They just won their second game in a row after losing 12 straight games and looking like the worst team in Major League Baseball for a two-week span. So you hate to see that. Kevin Fiala, 5.1 mil through arbitration, 1 year, will be an RFA after next season. Quick thoughts on Mr. Fiala.
Yeah, that's a great signing. There's been, you know, he was actually like pretty good for them, especially since they've lost a few guys. Eric Halla was on that team, right?
On what team?
Eric Halla is coming from Minnesota, or did he play somewhere else? Did he get traded?
He was part of the trade that sent Tuck to Vegas in the expansion draft, then he was traded to Carolina, then Florida, then Nashville.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You're thinking of Granlund.
Granlund's, but he didn't play there last year.
Fiala was traded for Granlund.
Okay. And who did, but didn't they just lose someone? Anyway, it's a great player. I think it's worth it. A $5 million, you know, contract for him. It's kind of like a prove it year. So,
yeah.
And I think he has the capability to, you know, prove it and earn a nice little long-term deal. So
he could be their second best forward, and it wouldn't surprise me behind Kaprizov if he signs. We talked about this fella quite a bit on this show. UC Saros, Nashville Predators, avoided arbitration, so it's not just a one-year deal. 4 years, 20 mil, $5 million annual cap hit. Really good goalie.
Yeah.
Really good goalie.
He's their new number one. He's the, you know, the up-and-coming Finnish goalie for that country. We'll see if he's the starter come 2022 Olympics. But, you know, he filled the hole as Pekka Rinne aged and then eventually retired. And it was just a great mentorship and passing of the torch. And now UC Saros is a great goalie for the next 4 years. I think he's amongst a top 10 in the league. So I think this was a great deal. And I don't think they even paid too much for him. I think that's a perfect price.
Couldn't agree more. A little bit of surprising news yesterday. Auston Matthews will be out for the next 6 weeks as he recovers from a slight wrist surgery. Didn't see that coming. Don't know why they waited till August, whatever. Weird.
Yeah. The good news for them is he'll be 100% by the opening day. So if it's a surgery like that, I'm imagining like it'll just be some, you know, rehab and he'll get his strength back rather quickly. So this is good. If his wrist shot's even better now, don't be surprised.
He might have the best wrists in the NHL. Those might be the two most important wrists in the league.
Yeah. Imagine being that doctor. Like, you know, he's like,
I have these $10 million wrists that I have to not fuck up.
Yeah, if I fuck up here, I fucked up.
Yeah, it's like Auston Matthews' wrists, Sidney Crosby's butt, I think, is probably his best asset because he uses that to, like, Google it.
That would be like, his...
The way he uses his lower... Like, I didn't mean that in, like, a weird, gross... Like, that his lower body strength. His lower body strength is, like, his number one asset, according to a lot of people.
That would be his legs and his edge control.
No, being able
to dig into the ice and just not move and box people out.
Crosby's, like, lower abdomen is, like, his biggest asset.
He's strong on his
feet. I'm just telling you. Patrick Kane's hands. Connor McDavid's feet, I would say. His legs, his lower legs, probably where he generates. His butt, too.
They're all specimens of nature that.
Yeah, but some guys have certain parts of their body that, like Ovechkin, what would be his? His wrists, his arms, his biceps? Probably his biceps.
Nah. Are you saying for like a slapper?
Yeah.
That's like a lot of torso movement. There's a lot of rotation.
Yeah. So imagine being a doctor, like working on these important parts of these people that, like, if it's messed up, it could ruin them.
Yeah. It's true. Very true.
Someone who performs Tommy John on a major league, like superstar, like whoever did Glasnow surgery.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I said about Matthews. Like, you got to be nervous. It's got to be a little extra nervous than, you know, some guy who fell.
You have to just forget about it if you're a doctor, I would think.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, oh, whatever. Treat it as a normal person.
I'm worried I need Tommy John after, what was that? I was probably clocking around like 80 yesterday.
Still hurting?
It is a little sore. We'll go throw some more after.
Yeah, we'll go stretch it out.
Yeah.
There's still some big free agents out there. I have a list here. I can name them off, and you could give me your I think this person's going to go there, or I can't believe this person's not signed yet. Whatever comes to that little brain of yours. Zach Parise, Travis Zajac, Kyle Palmieri, James Neal, Eric Staal, Tyler Bozak, Devin Dubnyk, Casey Cizikas, Brandon Dubinsky, and Matt Niskanen.
Yeah, there's one guy's name that you said, I think you said it. I'm looking at a list as well that I'm very surprised that they're not on a team yet. They were a big, you know, attracting point at last year's trade deadline. They were one of the first players to be moved approaching the trade deadline, and it's Kyle Palmieri. I feel like there's no reason why this dude isn't signed. He was actually great in the playoffs for the New York Islanders. He's been great on the Devils for the past 6 years. And this guy needs to be signed. He will be signed, but I'm just shocked it's taking this long. So that's the one guy, like, I think if my team can sign any one of these guys, it's him. It's probably not going to happen. I don't know if you mentioned him. Tuukka Rask is still on this list. Bruce Cassidy, head coach of the Boston Bruins, is very confident Tuukka's playing days are not over. And there's a reason he hasn't signed with another team. Like, they're just playing it slow. There's obviously communication going on there. Zach Parise is another guy I think will get a shot. David Backes might end up calling it a career. I wouldn't be surprised there. And I think Eric Staal will find a home shortly. So
I think the top three, I thought they were all going to re-sign with the Islanders, Parise, Zajac, and Palmieri. But, I mean, you never know at this point. It is August 18th. So Casey Cizikas would be a great Bruin. I wanted to bring that up to you. He'd be so sweet on their fourth line.
Yeah, he would be, especially like with a rebuilding fourth line. But I kind of think their bottom six is a little put together. I feel like there's not like, yeah, you can get, are you going to sign a depth guy or an extra guy at three something? Probably not. You know, they made a lot of moves already. So I feel like if they were to sign one of these guys, they'd be looking in a top six role. You know, depending on the health of everyone else, obviously there's the David Krejci gap to fill. So
Travis Zajac.
Yeah, there's options. There's a lot of options. Ryan Donato is another guy on this list who I'm a little surprised. I don't know if a lot of teams just have given up on him. We'll see if he ends up signing, because there was a lot of offensive upside in him, but he just hasn't really found it with a team.
A lot of the ads placed on this show, well, I love them, and I love promoting the network, but like the one about Dan Aguirre's sex life and Aldo's addiction to gummies, whacked me. Like, I didn't pay attention to a single word you said. And then they bring up Justin Fields, which makes me want to talk about sex and gummies at the exact same time, because that's how much I love Justin Fields. So it's kind of honestly like a math equation right there. It's like sex plus weed equals Justin Fields.
I mean, if that's not must see, then for to tune in to the Dan.
And oh, you're down if you don't watch that show.
Yeah.
I always watch it late, like after they're done being live, just based on my schedule and the White Sox and all that. But like, I expect during hockey season to tune in a little more live. But yeah, great stuff. Yeah. That's it on the free agents. We'll see if any of these guys get signed by our next show. Zach, come to the Devils, Zach. We want you, Zach. I know you're watching. I want to be the second most popular Parise associated with the New Jersey Devils.
You probably already are.
No, I think I'm the first most right now.
You think you're the first most? Not Parise? The guy. Yeah, not the guy who did play with them, win them an Eastern Conference championship. And
he's not associated with them anymore, is my point.
Yeah, when he retires, he'll be known as he was a great Devil.
If he made it to the Hall of Fame, what hat would he wear?
A
Jersey Devil?
Yeah. I don't know.
It would be like the Wild. He'd
be a clown like you with a Wild shirt and a Devil's hat.
This isn't a Devil's hat. This is a Bar Down Blackhawk Talk hat, fool. Represent your show. And make sure you go to deepdishtees.com and purchase this hat.
There it is. Look at that. All of a sudden, everything's working out. The transitions, the ads, everything's popping up nicely.
We're a team, man. We're a team. And as a team, I would like to move on to period number three. Comedy. Comedy, 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 comedy.
Thank you, Laro.
You like it, Laro? I want to talk Bulls. Laro, I have a article that I'm working on about the Bulls making the playoffs, and I need to reach out to you for some answers. I need help. I'm a big shooty hoops guy. I'm the biggest Bulls fan in the land. And when they make – I'm going to annoy so many Bulls fans if they make the playoffs, because I'm going to tweet like I've been there the whole time, kind of like how Dave does with the Bruins, and I cannot wait for it. And only – huh?
The fact you just said you're a shooty hoops guy.
I'm a huge shooty hoops guy.
How about me with my full court shot yesterday?
No, oh, that was brilliant. Yeah. You need to save that and make sure we get that in the next show.
I did save it. For those that don't know, I set a goal to myself at the kind of the beginning of summer-ish to make a half-court basketball shot. I suck at basketball. I'm terrible. I consider myself a very athletic guy. I play a lot of sports. Basketball, I am so bad. So I set a goal, half-court shot. I made it, and like I did one shot a day, mind you. This is no sit there and try until I make it. One shot a day. I film it. I post it. You got to follow me on Snapchat to watch it. I made it in like 3 days. And I was like, after I made it, I was like, well, that was no fun. So I evolved to a full court shot in which it was impossible. I never was able to get it. And then a summer camp started at my gym and the gym was never opened. So I kind of just had to stop doing it. Yesterday, for the first time in months, the gym was open. So I recorded my what?
The basketball court was always in use, not the gym.
The gymnasium at my gym. The gymnasium at my gym was always taken by the summer camp little fart face kids. Yesterday it finally was opened up. So I was like, fuck this. I'm going to get it. I filmed myself throwing a thing. I missed. I tried it again. I just kept missing. I just wanted to get on film of me making a full court shot. So, you know, what I ended up doing was I filmed myself throwing it. Then I cut to me like down the court, just shooting one and it going in. And then it cut back to me like missing the full court shot. So editing is a very strong way of making it look like you can make a full court shot. I suck at shooty hoops. That was a very long story.
The best part about it was I told Joey that there are going to be people that like fall for it and like don't catch what you're doing and like compliment you. And sure enough, he opens his phone and there's somebody saying like, nice job.
Yeah. It was
so funny.
Clear editing made the shot for me.
Yep. Well, shooty hoops, my thing. Can't wait to be the biggest Bulls fan of all time once the playoffs start after not watching a single game during the regular season. I've probably written – I'm actually joking. I do watch. Like, I have TVs. I throw the Bulls on one of them when they're on. I've probably written like 10 to 15 Bulls articles in my 3 years at Windy City. And like 8 of them were for The Last Dance. So, you know, I want to get more into it. I know my guy Laro is going to help me. Maybe. We'll see. Laro, I love you.
Yeah, and I just saw your comment, Gonzo. This is not the Joey Does Desserts logo. This is actually a logo. It's obviously Bruins related. Martian Milko. It is a company that Brad Marchand and former Bruin Kevin Miller created. And it's just a hunting. I think all the proceeds go to, or some of the proceeds, I believe, go to kids in Boston being able to play hockey or something like that. Maybe I'm getting it confused with another charity thing I've bought from. But either way, it's not Joey Does Desserts. I have Joey Does Desserts hats, but.
Yeah, make sure you buy cheesecake. We sent it to period number 3 to not talk about anything that we have set for period number 3. So let's do that. You heard us talk about tonight's fantasy football show. You could catch that at 7:30 Central with my good friend Joe Mandel. And we're going to talk about fantasy hockey in period number 3. What we're going to do for the rest of summer is talk a little fantasy hockey in period. I don't know if it'll always be period number 3, but we're going to do it position by position. That is gross, dude. Put that away.
What are we talking about?
I'm talking about fantasy hockey. And this week we're going to go over the goalies. We're going to do it by position as the weeks go on leading up to the season. I know all of you are going to play fantasy hockey. Maybe we'll even get a barroom league started so I can whoop everyone.
Oh, they wouldn't even know what hit them. Well, just you got to fill everyone in. You got to tell them how much I've dominated this league.
I don't want to.
How many years have we been doing it for?
Ooh.
It's your league. You step up to the plate.
It's probably like 8. It's probably like 8.
Come on, Bettman. Step up to the plate and talk about your league that and the best team to run it.
Yeah, Joey wins a lot. I don't know what you want me to say. I've won once. Yeah, who'd I beat, though?
You got sometimes
you never beat me in the fantasy finals. That's like when the Hawks won the cup in 2010 without going through Detroit.
No, but I beat you in the playoffs, haven't I?
Gonzo says I'll piss on you in fantasy hockey. This dude would probably draft like Hossa and Chara and a bunch of retired guys.
The disrespect to Gonzo.
The disrespect to Gonzo. I'll piss on you in fantasy hockey.
He's talking to you, not me.
That's why. Exactly.
Clearly he was talking. I think I've won it 5 times in 7 seasons.
You do not get the short seat or the
canceled. I didn't give it to myself. Right?
I think it's 4.
I'd have to check my logo because my dumbass, I put it to just to say fuck you to everyone else in my fantasy hockey logo, which I created. I have all the years that I won it in the logo. It's like
number one fantasy hockey goalie. Go ahead.
Andre, why am I giving you my picks? It's Andre Vasilevsky. He's the guy I want. He's the guy
giving me your picks. Oh, woe is you. You think Andre Vasilevsky is the number one goalie. Wow. How unique and strategy revealing of you.
There's our guy, Frank Mueller. His past few fantasy hockey years have been up.
That I agree with.
He has never looked. He is definitely the most improved player in our league.
Yep. He is one of the big five now.
Yeah. I ended up, did I beat him in the finals? Or no?
He beat.
Me and him each had a bye.
Yeah.
And he ended up losing in the semis. I beat the person who beat him.
Only one person can win each year.
Yeah. My top goalie is Andre Vasilevsky. You got to pick in fantasy hockey. You don't necessarily got to go with the guy who you think is going to have the best stats, the lowest goals against, the highest save percentage. I go with the guy that is on a winning team. And
Vasilevsky's both of those things.
Yes. With wins will come good performances. That's just how it works in fantasy hockey. I've had seasons where I have John Gibson, a phenomenal goalie, one of the most skilled in the league. The Ducks fucking suck and it hurts me. So
Corey Schneider was like that with the Devils at one point.
Yeah. He said I beat him in the finals. See, I don't know. It's all.
Yeah, he did. He did. That rings a bell. So yeah. Frank Mueller, future guest on this show, Frank Mueller. For those who are listening and enjoyed our NHL 22 talk, I would also go with Vasilevsky, but I look at goalies the way I look at quarterbacks in fantasy football to make it a little more relatable to the general public. Outside of Patrick Mahomes, who I drafted in our barroom league, I ended up getting him. Outside of Patrick Mahomes, goalies to me, I'd rather get like the third or fourth best while stacking up on other positions that are a little less deep or in the earlier rounds. And that's kind of the same way. Unless it's Andre Vasilevsky, I'd rather wait a round or two on the goalie.
Yeah. That's one way to go about it. You've definitely had success doing that. I like to grab a good goalie because I think there's a bigger drop-off with goalies than there is quarterbacks in football.
I agree with that.
So, yeah.
The top 10 goalies in the NHL are different than like 11 through 15, but like, is there much of a difference between the 10th best quarterback and the 15th best quarterback? Like Matthew Stafford or Kyler Murray, like guys like that in fantasy, pretty similar.
Yeah.
But like, you'd much rather have Philip Grubauer than say Sergei Bobrovsky.
Yeah.
So. Any sleepers in fantasy hockey this year, goalie?
A sleeper goalie? See, last year my sleeper got picked right under my nose by your very own Frank Mueller, and that was Philip Grubauer. I wanted him so bad. I was so high on the Colorado Avalanche. I knew he was going to be their number one. He ended up coming in third in the Vezina voting. With that being said, it might be another sleeper with him being on Seattle, but it also could end up biting you in the butt if Seattle just sucks. That could not be good. A team or a sleeper goalie, you can say what you want. It's going to be Linus Allmark on the Boston Bruins. If he's the number one, you got to pick a goalie who's on a good team. No matter who's in that net is going to have a good year, and you can disagree all you want, but it's Allmark, and then maybe draft Rask and throw him on your IR, you know, if that's available for you. It's whoever's in net for the Boston Bruins. I'll be looking at Allmark.
I like that. It just cracks me up because, like, I only talk about the Devils. And, like, no. But my sleeper is Marc-Andre Fleury. That's not just saying that. I think he's going to come to this team. And Marc-Andre Fleury is one of the best at, you know, stopping high-danger chances. And the Hawks have given up a lot of high-danger chances. I think some of the improvements to their roster will limit the high-danger chances a little bit. But I like Marc-Andre Fleury. I do think – I agree with you that Grubauer could be a sleeper. And then I kind of got one that I went into last season thinking he might win the Vezina Trophy. And then he kind of stunk because the team in front of him wasn't really good. And that's Carter Hart.
Yeah.
I think Philly's going to be a little bit improved this season. I don't think they're like a cup contender anymore, but I think they're going to be good enough to make Carter Hart a fantasy valuable goaltender. I'm not even positive they're a playoff team, but they're a bubble team, and Carter Hart's going to be a big part of it.
Yeah. Another good one, a sleeper, would be whoever takes the number one role of the Colorado Avalanche.
It's going to be Darcy Kemper.
Yeah. And I feel like that's a huge, huge sleeper because
100%.
Like, I'm so high on just picking goalies on good teams and it works out. So, yeah, I think Marc-Andre Fleury is a great answer as well. The only thing is, like, you know, he's the defending Vezina Trophy winner. Is he really going to be ranked that low to be considered a sleeper? Maybe not. So,
well, and I have Marc-Andre Fleury written down as just someone to talk about in general based on the audience mostly being Blackhawks fans. You think he is going to be like a fantasy worthy goalie?
I do, yeah, because I do think the Hawks are going to be better. But I also think there might be a little overdraft with Fleury because of I think Vegas is better than Chicago. Last year's Vegas team is going to be better than this year's Chicago team.
Not even close.
Yeah, so there might be a little bit of an overdraft on the name, for me at least. But it'll be worth having. I mean, he wouldn't be my number one goalie I want, but
he'd be in my top five.
I don't know. Guess we'll see.
I'm also really high on the rookie, Spencer Knight.
Spencer Knight in Florida is a good one.
The Panthers are going to be so good, and I can't wait for it. I'm getting a T-shirt. I might even buy a jersey.
The only problem there is he's a rookie, and if Bob does get hot and just find his game, that could take games away.
I see what you're saying. It could.
They won't mind sitting Spencer Knight and letting Bob, you know, put his money to use if he's on fire.
Absolutely.
So that could hurt. I agree. You.
You're right. Speaking of Marc-Andre Fleury, that puts like Kevin Lankinen in like a duo form, I guess. He'll get less starts. I want to say it'll be about 60-40 personally with Fleury getting the 60. But I do think they're going to let Kevin Lankinen get some games because he's like the young guy they're trying to develop. And they brought in Fleury, who's like a 3-time Stanley Cup champion, Vezina winning goalie with like experience doing this stuff. So like, I want to know if there are any other like single team duos that you think might be, because I know you've gone this route in fantasy before with the Bruins, having both Rask and Yaroslav Halak. Mm-hmm. And I've done it before. I did it actually a couple years ago. I remember doing it with Marty Brodeur and Corey Schneider, and that actually worked out pretty well for me. And I've also done it with the Minnesota Wild, having Devin Dubnyk. And I think it was Darcy Kemper even at the time. And, you know, I'm just wondering if you have any combos that you think might be helpful.
Yeah, obviously I will have no problem doing it again with Allmark and Tuukka Rask when he returns, or even Jeremy Swayman for the time that Tuukka's out. I had Jeremy Swayman on my team last year while Halak was hurt or on COVID protocol. But a team for me, and I'm trying to get the exact, I don't know, like there's been so many moves and trades and stuff that it's very difficult to keep up with goalies going to other teams and if they're still on the team that they, mm-hmm. you know, are so successful with. And the Carolina Hurricanes are one of those teams that always seem to go to like a 1A and 1B kind of thing. So, and they're a good team. They fit my qualifications of just being a good team who's going to win a lot. So the whatever two goalies are with them, I want to say Mrazek and they just got Freddie Anderson. See, that's what I'm saying. Freddie Anderson and Antti Raanta and maybe even Alex Lyon. So whatever the two guys there are going to be able to get wins for you. So
I like the Philip Grubauer-Driger combo.
I do, but it's a gamble if
Seattle. I don't think Seattle's going to be bad.
No, just, neither do I.
But I used to. After their expansion draft, I still think – I will always say that their expansion draft was horrible. I hated every second of it. But the moves that they made after kind of made it make a little more sense. And I like their goaltending. They made some good signings. So, like, and another thing that also has to be taken into consideration, outside of Vegas and Edmonton, I think they could be like the third team in the division. I really do. Edmonton, you can argue that Seattle will be better than Edmonton, but Edmonton has McDavid and Draisaitl. And that, to me, like having 200 points in two players, that can push Edmonton over the edge.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, I've been saying that they're good, they're going to be good. Brossoit is probably going to back up Robin Leonard. That's another good one.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had one. Washington. They just got Vitek Vanacek back. And yep. So if both of those go, like, you know, all great teams are going to, you know, get wins. And when you win a game, you don't give up as many goals as the other team. And your goalie has good numbers. It's just the way fantasy hockey works.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I really like that mindset, and I couldn't agree with it more. Pretty good hockey conversation for it being August 18th, don't you think?
Yeah, I could go on all day, especially when we're talking about, you know, my guys. We had a good conversation about David Pastrnak.
Yeah, and I encourage everyone to watch next week because we are going to do lots of talk about world hockey, and I'm very much looking forward to that. We kind of went on a little rant about it this week, but I'm passionate about world hockey. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, we'll have to throw on our world hockey jerseys.
Yeah, we could do that. I think that'd be great. And also, make sure you tune in to Crosstown Crosstalk tomorrow. We have a very special guest, and I'm very excited to interview her and see what she's got to say. That's going to be Gabrielle Starr of Fansided. She covers the Philadelphia Phillies and Boston Red Sox for us, and she's great. Like, I'm a big fan of hers. And, you know, we'll also get into the White Sox and the Cubs and everything going on with them. So make sure you tune in tomorrow, 2 p.m. You got anything left on hockey before we head on out of here?
No, just every day is getting closer and closer. I'm ready. I'm starting to get it. I'm starting to get excited for them bees to come back.
I was thinking about that yesterday because, like, for a while there, you get to watch hockey and baseball at the same time, and I love it. Now it's just like there's only one sport, and I'm waiting for that day where I wake up and I head to the gym and there's just a little like crisp feeling to the air. And I know that's football, right? Because football comes first in terms of the timeline. And then like once football's there, then you start to see the training camps and the NHL open up and the NBA starts going and baseball's heading into the playoffs. October is unequivocally my favorite month of the year. It has the best weather. It has the best sports. It has the best like celebration atmosphere. Like, Christmas is my favorite holiday, but Halloween is right there just because, like, the fires and the costumes, and it's just my favorite, like, type of party, like, with the weather and all that. So we got some good times coming up. We're going to try and have some more guests to close out the summer, and we're going to keep talking about fantasy hockey. We did goalies this week. I haven't decided what position next week, but it'll probably just be defenseman. We'll go goalie out. And so, you know, make sure you bring along your fantasy hockey questions and all that kind of stuff for next week. We'll be talking defensemen. I'm sure it'll be a little bit lengthier conversation because there's so many more defensemen. There's 30 starting goalies and 30 backups. So I don't know. I think it's good stuff for the summer, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and not only does Gonzo agree with you, but I agree as well. I think he's referring to your comment about October just being magical if you're a sports fan. It really is. And this year, especially us White Sox fans, get to enjoy it, gives me goosebumps.
So I don't even like to think about it, though. That I will say. You know, you haven't seen me write on Twitter or Facebook, is it October yet? That used to be like a thing that I tweet or write all the time. I'm nervous. It gives me goosebumps to think about what it could be.
Yeah.
Or what it could not be.
Part of the process.
I know we'll talk about it more tomorrow, but when you got like Jake Lamb hitting home runs and Brian Goodwin being a great, like it just feels different. I don't know why. And I don't know. I could really use something like that though.
Yeah. You know why? I'll end us on this note. It's because you're passionate and they could put whatever advertisement they wanted on that jersey and you'll still get those jitters. You still will it bring you to tears. You can't recreate that, and you can't pay for that. So don't ever say, I don't ever want to hear anyone say, I'm not watching if they put ads. It's the least of our worries. Just enjoy it. So
I couldn't agree more. Great show. Make sure you tune in next week. I'm very excited for that conversation. Further note on the guests later on, but you know, we'll get there. World Hockey Defenseman Fantasy coming up, the video game. We'll talk about that, the reveal. And for Joey, make sure you follow at Joey Parisi on Twitter. For me, Vinny, at Vinny Parisi on Twitter. And thank you for listening.